this. So I'm Jenny, for those of you who don't know me, and I always feel like I should sort of, I don't know, introduce myself, but I've literally got nothing other than my name. I don't know. So I guess you'll... That's all I've got. No, I mean, I'm sure, but I don't know what's interesting. So you'll learn more about me as we go. So let's see. Thank you, Katie, for that. Yeah, I'm trying to minimize the amount I have to say their names throughout the talk. So you might hear a bit of, like, these guys, just to avoid saying their names again. But there we go. The topic given for this talk was facing opposition, which seems relevant. So I find it interesting being given the talks like this. I've actually had the Daniel in the Lion's Den as well, which feels vaguely similar. And they're the sort of big, classic, well-known story that some of us grew up with in Sunday school, hearing them over and over. And I always feel a little unsure how I feel about them. On the one hand, they're very inspirational stories, clearly. But on the other hand, it's quite easy, I think, for talks on this topic to leave us feeling a bit discouraged, maybe lacking in faith and not a good enough Christian. So in order to try and avoid this, I'm going to be pretty honest about myself and how I feel about faith. So again, apologies. You don't have to ask me back. It's fine. So yeah, the title of this talk is Facing Opposition. And I think we can all agree that getting thrown into a blazing furnace is a pretty serious opposition to face. Before we even get to the fire, we can learn a lot from Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And to give us some backstory to this, what's happened is that they've actually been appointed on Daniel's recommendation to be looking after the affairs of King Nebuchadnezzar. So there was quite an important part in his kingdom and the set over to look over the affairs. And then King Nebuchadnezzar decides to build all these gold statues and command that everyone bow down to them, to which they refuse, which is where we start our story with King Nebuchadnezzar in a rage. So they weren't just some random people on the outskirts. They were quite core in his business dealings. And yet they still make a stand, and they still have integrity within that. And I think that sets an incredible example to us of integrity, whichever circle you're in and wherever you work, that there are still some things that are more important. So when this accusation comes and the king says, "What God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" I love the initial response they give. They say, "We do not need to defend ourselves on this matter." And that is so far from my way of thinking. I heard someone phrase it like this. They say, "You do not need to attend every argument you're invited to." And for anyone who knows me, this is mainly just a little point for me to take home, because I always feel that need to defend myself, that need to explain things, and that need to attend the argument. But they then continue to the king with what I think is the game-changing bit of this whole passage. They say, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Now here, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are making two incredibly bold statements, neither of which I feel like I walk through life with any assurance or certainty of. Firstly, is the absolute assurance that their God can deliver them. They do not doubt God's capacity to rescue the situation. And secondly, for me, my favourite part of this whole story is just these simple words, "But even if he does not." Even if he does not. And this is where we learn something incredible about their faith. Their faith was not dependent on what God did for them or what he didn't do. It wasn't a business transaction. Now, at this point in history, they had no real developed idea of an afterlife. So this wasn't even them saying, "Well, I guess this is going to be pretty horrific, but I'm quite sold on this heaven idea, so maybe it'll be okay." This was them saying, "This may be it for us, but that's okay." Unsurprisingly, this doesn't dampen the king's rage, and he throws them all into the fire and just turns it up for good measure. This is a bit we've been waiting for. And I think this story tells us the two things we can count on in life. Firstly, we won't be spared the fire. In the story of the wise and foolish builders building their house on the sand and on the rock, the rain comes for both of them. The rain falls regardless. However, the second promise we have is that God is with us throughout. It says, I'll get that in a minute. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar..." Oh, thanks, Katie. Well, it's like having... I could get used to this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." So if the fire is inevitable, I wanted to ask the question, well, what happens to us in the fire? And I want to make really clear, and I'll say this a few times, that I'm not saying the fire is okay. I'm not saying we should want the fire. However, I do think we can find something incredible there if we allow ourselves to look for it. Firstly, we can find freedom in the fire. The men were unbound. Chains can break in the fire. I've definitely experienced that keen reality of what matters and what no longer matters when you're walking through a fire. All the worries and insecurities and pettiness can drift away. Freedom can be found in the furnace. You have stood through the fire, through the worst attacks, and that in itself is liberating. Secondly, you can find strength in the fire. In researching this talk, I found someone using the phrase elastic faith. This is a faith that is strengthened but not broken by diversity. To demonstrate this, they use the analogy of an earthquake and how it's the buildings that are built to be able to flex that remain standing. I've certainly seen this to be true, and I think elastic describes my faith pretty well. It's not the black and white faith that I had when I was a teenager. It's had to stretch to allow for the complexities of life, but I think it's also strengthened. And lastly, I think you find miracles in the fire. And what I love about this story is that sometimes you expect the miracle to happen outside the fire, that maybe they'd be rescued, that something would prevent them from being thrown in. But actually, sometimes the miracle happens in the fire. Sometimes we see the little bits of magic in the worst of times. My brother once described this as looking out for the pockets of grace in life. And I love this. Once again, it doesn't make the fire okay, but how wonderful to be able to look for the miracles within it. So then we come to the end of the story and they're brought out the fire. And I think it then asks the question of us, well, who will you be after the fire? What will we learn from the fire? And I think the king's reaction is really quite disappointing, because on the one hand, you could say, oh, isn't it great? He's embracing this God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And he's saying, this is the one true God. Let's all bow down to him. However, he also says, he says this decree. He says, "I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and the houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." It feels like he hasn't actually learned anything about how to treat people differently. His heart hasn't changed. So what will we learn? One of my all-time favourite verses in the Bible is in Song of Songs. It's one of the more PC ones, don't worry. It's chapter 8, verse 5, and it says, "Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?" And what this verse says to me is that you will be in the wilderness sometimes, but it's all about who you come out of the wilderness leaning on. Who will you come out of the wilderness or out of the fire leaning on? Who will you trust? Who will be your strength? And in some ways, I feel like the story of the fire is a little bit unhelpful because they were saved, which is clearly amazing. But for many of us, we don't feel like we've been saved. We may not have completely burnt in the fire, but we do come out feeling like we've lost something, maybe an irreparable part of ourselves. There's so much language sometimes in the church and in worship songs of walking through the fire, of not being burnt, of overcoming. And yet this doesn't always feel like our experience. Sometimes it can feel like fire after fire. And after a while, you start to wonder if this is just what life is. Sometimes, even when we aren't in the fire ourselves, everywhere we turn, people we love are in a fire, and it's overwhelming. It can be so much harder to maintain our faith when it feels like knock after knock. Again, when I was a teenager, I couldn't really imagine feeling any differently about my faith. How would I not be able to remember this feeling right now, this certainty about God and about my life? And yet some days, if I'm brutally honest, I almost feel like I'm a Christian because, to use a poker term for those who know it, I'm pot committed. I feel like I've come this far and I don't really know how to do it any differently now, so I guess I'll just carry on. And then all I can really do is come back to these pockets of grace. These pockets of grace, don't make the fire okay. But that doesn't mean they're not miracles. There are things now that have happened in my life that I would struggle to know whether I wanted to change because of the goodness that has come out of them. And that causes a lot of confusion because of the pain. So my choice daily and sometimes even hourly is to make the decision that I want to come out of the wilderness leaning on my beloved. And this is what I'll always return to. So we're just going to finish with a song. Sorry if that's just a bit of a splurge of my feelings on this. Just a brief one tonight. I can blame being ill, but I think it's just my brain. So the lovely Dawny's going to play a song. I'll just pray for us first. God, I thank you so much that we can be certain of your presence through everything we walk through in life. And I pray that whatever we're doing or whatever we're feeling and whatever we're experiencing at the moment, that we will be aware of your presence and that we will be aware of being strengthened and we will be aware of looking for those miracles and looking for those pockets of grace. And I pray that we will find that relief even in the darkness. Amen.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your back. Tomorrow.